Lord, I pray, just let the rule of peace come into our hearts and minds now, so that we are not thinking about all the other things in our lives, but that we can actually just give our focus and our time to listening and hearing what your Spirit is saying to us. Thank you that you speak through the eternal Word of God, the Word of God that is living and powerful. And we honor your Word above all. I honor your Word, Father, as the only way that we can know your will in this life. And as the power of God, you send forth your Word, you heal, and you accomplish your purpose through your Word. And so, Lord, I pray that you will give me grace to speak, and you will give us as your church and any visitors here this morning grace to listen, that we might be hearers that understand and go and do what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus had risen from the dead. He had finished the work of salvation for everyone on the cross. And we live in the light of what Jesus has done, and not in what he will do. Because he has done everything already, we are now living in the life that he has achieved for us, or won for us, through his death and resurrection. And so Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared to the women at the tomb. He appeared to disciples that were walking along a road. I love the story when Jesus just showed up to two of his followers who were probably very upset, not understanding anything. And he came and speak and revealed himself through scriptures. I just love the way Jesus comes alongside and starts to speak. And then the disciples, they were afraid of the Jews and what might happen to them being followers of Jesus. And Jesus kind of, because he had a resurrected body, he was able to go through walls. Now, that was a surprising visit. While they're having a meal, there's a bit of a shock. They were eating and suddenly, poosh, Jesus comes. Because the Bible's really clear that one day we will all have a new body, a resurrected body. For those who receive Jesus, for those who don't, we will live eternally separated and condemned forever, which I won't go into. That's not part of the message. But today, we just need to know that Jesus is alive, that he appears to people. He has ascended. He sent his Spirit. But he wanted to make sure his disciples knew that he was alive. So he appeared to them and he revealed himself to them. And verse 14, it says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Sometimes I think the disciples had such a hard time, but we know God's good. And so it's like Jesus is here being quite strong with his disciples, saying, guys, why didn't you believe the women who came back and told you that I'm alive? And so he shows up and he says, I've got one more thing to say to you before I go to my Father. And this is it. Verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then Jesus goes on into the signs following, the miracles that we're to expect to happen as we go. And he promises to be with us always. So Jesus gives his disciples, and currently we could say he gives every believer the same word in every generation. And of course, we've only got today to live. We don't live in history, and we can't live in the future yet. We've only got today to respond to this. And he says, go and preach the good news to all creation. Go and tell everyone that I have done everything for them to be put back into right relationship with God, to have eternal life, and to live a different, new life here on earth. Don't stay with what you have and perfect everything you've got. But as you go, I'll be with you, and I will actually show that I'm with you through signs, through the supernatural dimension of my presence amongst my people. It'll be obvious that when you actually go and preach, that God will show and turn up. Now he says, basically, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And Jesus is clear, there will be a great separation in terms of who responds to what. Whoever believes will be saved, and whoever doesn't believe will be condemned or judged. And so Jesus doesn't mince his words. He doesn't say everybody will be saved, but he said we are to go and tell everybody and give them that freedom of choice as to whether they will believe or not. Because God gives each one of us a free will. Whether we personally choose to believe and continue to live by faith in Jesus, because to believe isn't just a prayer, it's a walk. The righteous shall live by faith. It's a walk. It's not just a prayer. We may begin with a prayer, but then we walk the new life out, doing the things that please Jesus. But he says, respond to the message with faith, turning to me and believing, or those who don't will be condemned on the day of judgment. And I just think it's amazing that Jesus told his disciples, the place for you to minister is in the world, those who don't yet know me. So he was assigning us our kind of ministry field, which was people that don't yet know Jesus. I was speaking to a very insular-minded people, because the Jews genuinely think that it all happens with them, it all finishes with them, but God had a plan. It began with them, but it's to go to all the world, which is what Jesus was saying. Don't stay in Jerusalem. Go to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So he was saying, immediately, we need to be thinking the whole world. And we need to preach. Now, you and I may find that a difficult word. We think, well, that's okay for the pastors, they preach. That's okay for those who are of certain giftings and callings. They stand up and they can preach anywhere. But Jesus is speaking to every believer here through his word. That means every believer here this morning. Go into the world and speak about the good news. Now, the good news, we've sung it this morning. We've had communion, which speaks of the good news. Everything we've done this morning has been about Jesus and about what he has done for us through his death on the cross for our sins. And the good news is simply this, that Christ died for our sins, that he rose again after 3 days, and now gives eternal life, forgiveness of sins, to all who repent, turn away from a sinful life, turn away from themselves or other things, and accept Jesus Christ, receiving, believing in him as their personal Savior and Lord. That is the news that saves you if you believe it, or condemns you if you don't. And so Jesus is pointing out that there is a great separation. He taught throughout the Gospels that one day the end will come and there will be a great separation. The goat nations, the people who do not receive Christ or believe in him, will be presented before the great white throne, which is a throne of judgment and eternity. They will be sent into eternity in hell, separation from God. But all who accept God's grace, which is why the gospel is a gospel of grace, in this time, It's too late when you die. In this moment, will be saved. Have peace with God now, a new life, and spend eternity with Him in heaven. Jesus didn't make it complicated. And He said, this news is for everyone because I don't want anyone to perish. I want to give everyone an opportunity to know what you know and what I know. Get the message out. Go into all the world and speak. So God's strategy to save this current generation, the world we now live in, is us. He didn't say, don't worry, sing 50,000 hymns in a year and I'll save the world. This is the strategy. Go into the world and preach, speak to everyone about what I have done for them in paying the price for their sins, being raised from the dead, and offering eternal life to them in the here and now. So Paul actually said, if you turn to Romans, which is such a clear understanding of why we must speak and tell people about Jesus. In Romans 10, it's verse 13, that whole chapter is really about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and how you can believe, confess, and speak out that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you'll be saved. And it says in verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, which is Jesus, will be saved. I love that. Everyone who calls on, who says, Lord, I call on your name and your name alone, Jesus, to save me. Everyone who does that will be saved. Party, party, party. Everyone who calls. Then Paul says, how then can they call on one they haven't believed in? You know, sometimes we look at our work colleagues, our families, we look at, maybe if you work at a school, you think, everybody doesn't believe where I work. You know, we're in a generation where the gospel has been attacked so much to be taken out of society, taken out of schools, taken out of government. Everything is attacking the good news of Jesus Christ because the devil knows it's the good news that will save people. So he wants the good news out. And Paul says, how can they believe on one? And we look at people and say, well, they're unbelievers. Well, maybe they haven't heard. Just maybe they need you to tell them. Because how can they believe on someone and call on someone they haven't heard about? It says here, how can they call on one they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in one that they have not heard? It is astounding, and I know sometimes I think we're still a little shocked we're not a Christian nation. But it's time to get over it and preach. The only thing that's going to change it is not being shocked, but it's doing something about it. So don't go on about, ooh, isn't it awful what's happening in schools? Get yourself into whatever situation God has called you into and tell them about Jesus and the good news of the cross and the resurrection. So stop saying how it used to be. Now is our time. It's our time to tell everybody about Jesus. And it says, how can they believe in the one they haven't heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? Now, isn't it interesting that Paul doesn't say the preaching ministry is down to the angels and the Holy Spirit? Isn't it interesting that Jesus says the preaching and the destiny of the nation is in the hands of these disciples who are to go and preach? And isn't it an awesome thing to think in the right way and take on the responsibility that it's our job that the world around us know that Jesus died for their sins and rose again, and everyone who calls on his name will be saved. You see, faith comes from hearing. It doesn't come from being, even in church, people have to hear the message. They have to have it preached. You've got to hear about Jesus. And what he did, I heard lots of times, I don't know about you, but my family were pretty persistent. And I didn't receive Jesus and believe in him and accept him till I was 27. And to be honest, I regret not doing it sooner. I totally regret it because he has become my very life. Everything about my life is I love God. I love Jesus, and I love what he did for me. And because of what he did for me, to save a miserable sinner like me, I am like, let's get out with the gospel of grace. Let's be the church with a message, which is the unchanging message. We now might need to tweak it and make it kind of culturally relevant in that we use media, we use Facebook, we use DVD presentations. We do different stuff. But the message is unchanging. Because the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. So the good news is the power. So where are we going to find the power to see people saved? It's in the good news. It's in the message. It's in the message that Jesus died for everyone and he rose again from the dead. That is the good news. And if you believe that, accept it, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, you will be saved. What good news. To be honest, the devil must sort of put people off so much because the news is so good. It's such good news, he must lie so much about the gospel. You'll never hear better news than this side of heaven. There is nothing better. Winning the lottery is not better because eternity is a very long time. And I don't want to spend it in hell. I want to spend it in heaven and all the good things that Jesus died for me. It's purely grace. Unearned, undeserved, by grace, through faith, we're saved. By grace, through faith, we're saved. But faith comes by hearing. And it's not just hearing a testimony. A testimony might wake somebody up to the reality of who Jesus is. Now, testimonies are very good. We're having one next Saturday. But next Saturday will also be a presentation of the gospel. Because without hearing the good news about Jesus, not just what he did in your life, but what he did on the cross, and believing that he rose again from the dead, people won't be saved. They'll be attracted to God, but they won't become born again believers. So God uses testimony, but only the gospel saves. The gospel, Romans 1, is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. How can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless we go and speak? Tell your neighbor I'm a preacher. But not in this format, in the world God's called me to. Amongst those who do not know. I'm a preacher to unbelievers. Go on, tell them that. You see, Satan's strategy, we talked about God's strategy, is us and the gospel to speak. Satan also has a strategy. Because he wants to stop everything that gets the word out through his church, through God's church. And so Satan's strategy is to stop us speaking. It's easy. I know what. I'll stop them telling people about what Jesus has done. Usually with threats, with fear, with intimidation, with making us feel we'll look a bit silly, with making us feel we haven't got what it takes to see somebody saved. the message is so simple that we can all tell people. Christ died for our sins, rose again from the dead 3 days after. Whoever turns and believes will be saved. Isn't that easy? Tell somebody next to you, it's easy to preach. Now turn to Acts chapter 4, because we're going to just look at a moment in history, the history of the church. And we can learn from the history of the church. I know Acts is the word of God given to, for us, but it's also a historical book, the word of God. It tells us about the history, the real history of what happened in the early church. Now, if Satan's strategy is to stop the early church speaking and stop us speaking in this age, this time, then what happened was Peter and John had seen this unusual miracle of a man who was lame walk. They'd been hauled before the courts and interrogated for this miracle. They'd actually been put into prison, and they were asked to give an account for what they've done in seeing this man standing there who'd been healed. And everybody who was against the gospel, because religious people generally are very against the good news. The religious people of that day didn't want the good news out, and so they issued a few threats. And it says in verse 17, to stop this thing from spreading, this thing is the gospel, and people getting saved and healed. Right? We're into this thing. Church, this is our thing. This is our thing, the gospel. To stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. So Jesus had said, go tell everybody. The officials with Satan behind it says, stop speaking. You can do anything, but don't spread the gospel. You know, you can have your cozy clubs. You can meet in your homes and get to know how to love one another. You can do it, which is all good. It's his will. As long as you don't speak to people who don't know him. And so they issued a few threats. And they said, in verse 18, they called them in again and commanded them. Now, this must have been quite threatening because it was a command. You are not allowed to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, here we go, church, we need a few of these, said, judge for yourselves whether it's right. They didn't rebel against authority. They just said there's a higher authority than the government. And we fear God. Not man. Judge for yourselves. I wonder, if we were not permitted to preach the gospel in this country, would you be a preacher? Would I be a preacher? If we were told that we would be thrown into prison for telling people about Jesus, I wonder what I would do. It's a good question. Would you preach? And they said, no, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. In other words, in this thing, in everything else with the laws, I obey the speed limit, I pay my taxes, I live right, when I'm working, I work, I don't preach, I don't use my boss to pay for me to be preacher. I do it in the coffee time, in my own time. Hello. Integrity. In everything I do, what you say. But in this matter, you tell us we can't preach. We're here to obey God. We're going to preach. And actually, blow the consequences. I mean, we're talking bold. We're talking, if they hadn't, would we be here saved? Because they pushed through the threats and said, no, we're going to preach. The consequences meant every generation since of believers are here because they said, we're going to preach. We're going to speak about the things. And it actually says how we can't help. Here it says in verse 20, for we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. In other words, it's become my experience that Jesus is alive. I've seen this. I know it. I believe it with all of my heart. And I'm prepared to lay my life on the line for the gospel. You might be sitting there thinking, I didn't come to church for this. I didn't visit this church for this. I was hoping for a word that would bless me. But actually, it does bless us when we actually do what God says to do with the time that we have been given to live in. A few weeks ago, many of you probably heard the news in Pakistan. After Sunday worship, our brothers and sisters were leaving and suicide bombers went in and blew over 70 of them apart. Children, all kinds of different relatives of ours. Part of the body of Christ in Pakistan is being persecuted. And you could say that is the violent method and means Satan is using today to threaten Christians throughout the world, in Somalia, in the Sudan, in Iran and Iraq, in Pakistan, that you're held with a gun to your head. Are you a Muslim? Then you can live. Are you, if you're not a Muslim, you will die. We are living in an age where things are turning pretty nasty, church. And how we respond on our patch is as important as how those precious, suffering people in Pakistan, we pray, are given the grace to respond, to continue to worship the true and living God, and to continue to declare the good news of Jesus Christ is the only way to save Pakistan. And if they shut their mouths and are shut down through fear, the threats, then the gospel will be hindered, people won't be saved, and the eternity of many is lost. And so Peter and John left us a model in every generation or every culture, which includes ours. There is persecution here, but not in the same way. It might come to our door, and I trust I'm not prophesying, but I don't believe we are here for such a time as this to be quiet. I believe we need to give voice to the good news of Jesus Christ in every situation we are in. And I believe we are here to change the eternal destinies of the people that we share good news with. And I don't believe it's about whether we feel good about doing it. I believe it's down to the love that says, compelling me, that if one died for all, then I must tell them. And so sometimes I think we need a reformation of thinking and say, only the good news can help this nation. Only the good news is a solution for our government. Only the good news is a solution for our schools, our young people, this generation. Only the gospel is the power of God to save. Only. Now, you know, I trust, if you're a member of this church, I don't just believe in preaching and conversion. I believe in discipleship. Because when you believe, you follow. But you can't follow if you don't believe. So the solution is the gospel, and then comes in discipleship, which is part of church life. It's body life. Every member doing its part, loving one another, building one another up. We're part of a body, each part doing its share. So there's an importance that we're not just seeing the one prong, but we are seeing the purpose of God in preaching the gospel to change this generation. We need great courage, do we not? Once again, we need courage, do we not? Do we not need more courage in the face of our families who laugh at us? In the face of our work colleagues who say it isn't cool to be a Christian? In the face of people that might totally mock us and tear us down, do we not need to answer with a boldness in this generation that surpasses what we feel and what they think about us? But it is a message of grace. But we've got to be courageous to speak it. It's not a message of law. It's not a message of judgment. Yes, it's a message that judgment will come. Now is the time for salvation. Today. Today is the day. Respond. Don't wait another day. But the good news, and only the good news is the answer, which is why Jesus said, go into all the world. Don't keep it small. Keep it big. Keep it large. Live it large, church. Don't just think about you and your family and your pocket and your health and just how what you're going to do in the next phase of your life. Am I hearing God? Let's preach the good news. Let's do what Jesus asked us to do. In the Old Testament, we read about somebody who, her name was Esther. And in a way, she had a preacher called Mordecai, who was her uncle. And the nation, the Jewish people, God's people, the enemy, in the personality called Haman, wanted to destroy God's people. And he wants to destroy the gospel. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy the foundations of the word of God in our culture. He wants to destroy and eat away at our schools, our children, our upbringing, how we raise children. The foundations of the faith are being destroyed by the enemy. And in this time, Mordecai actually saw the grace of God in Esther's life because she had married the king and she was in an amazing position to be influential. And I believe everybody in this room is in a position of influence. That God has put you somewhere. That you live somewhere. That you take your kids to school somewhere. That you're at college somewhere. That you work somewhere. That you meet people somewhere around you. You're into that position of influence for the purpose of seeing people saved and not perishing. And Mordecai preached to Esther because she wasn't going to do anything about it. She was going to stay in her ivory high tower, really happy to be the queen. And he said, and this is, that's why I think he was a great preacher. Don't be silent, but speak. In other words, you need to use your voice where you are. Because who knows whether you've come to this royal position or this kingdom for such a time as this. And we've got to think that we're here now for this time. We're here for these people. We're here for the people we work with, we live with, the people we meet. That is how we think. You might have come from another nation. I thank God you're here if you're a believer, because you've come here for such a time as this to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to many. Every tribe and every nation, people will be saved because we are about doing our job and getting on and doing what Jesus asked us to do. But we need encouragement, don't we? I don't know about you, but I don't know if you need encouragement to keep on speaking the gospel. I feel that because it's the most attacked thing, the devil wants to discourage you. And he wants to discourage me in preaching the gospel. There are many times I've stood up and preached and people have gone away not responding to Jesus. But in the end, the satisfaction I must get is that I said it. I haven't been told to go and save. I've been told to go and preach. You've been told to go and speak. To speak out the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul needed encouragement. Let's turn to Acts 18. And we're going to pray in a minute. This is an exhorting message. You might be here thinking, whoo, who is that woman? This is a bit strong for me. Well, it's in love, and it's because I believe it's the passion of the Holy Spirit for the world. I don't believe it's to address, be mad. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying urgency. Let's receive what we need this morning through the Word of God, through the preaching of the gospel, so that we can go and fulfill our call. Now, Paul needed encouragement, and I think that's amazing. Paul was the apostle that God raised up to bring the message of Jesus to the Gentile nations, all other nations outside Israel. Now, he was a Jew, and he did preach to Jews, but he knew that he was called to preach to the whole world. And this is on one of his ministry trips or mission trips, and preceding Acts 18, I'll just tell you a few of the places that Paul had just been to. Paul was joined by his team, and he went to Philippi. And in Philippi, he spoke to a few women at a prayer meeting, a spiritualist prayer meeting. They were what we would call the really spiritual weirdos. You know, they were down there, they were with their smoke, incense, flags. They probably went to Taunton Cricket Ground last couple of weeks ago because they're interested in spiritual things. Now, God loves them. He died for them as much. They need to hear the good news. So Paul got stuck right in to that scene. Love that. And a few of them got saved. Lydia, he was thrown into jail, put in prison, beaten, and then set free by God's power. So that was Philippi. He went on to Thessalonica, where he was preaching the good news of Jesus and the resurrection. It caused a riot. It caused a lot of opposition. People abused him, spoke against him, but some became believers. He left there and went to a place called Berea, where he preached the gospel, talked about Jesus and the resurrection. Now, in that place, people were kind of more open, and more people got saved in Berea than they did in Philippi or in Thessalonica. So Paul then goes on to Athens. Now, Athens, at that time, the Greeks, there were idols everywhere. Some would say there were hundreds of idols. People were really worshipping all other gods. And there was one statue amongst all the statues that said, the unknown God. And Paul was provoked that there was no knowledge of God. Nobody knew the gospel in Athens, and he was just passing through. I love this guy, because he uses everything. Even if he's passing through, he preaches. Doesn't matter where you are, you're called to preach. And so Paul, he starts to preach about this unknown God. I want to tell you about this God. And what happened in that situation, some of them mocked him. Some of them said, can we find out more? I love that. Some of them heard about Jesus and said, we need to know more. But some of them believed and became followers of Jesus Christ. So Paul's gone through every single situation, preaching, being thrown into prison, being abused, getting attacked, being told that he's crazy. And he arrives in Corinth. And in Acts chapter 18, it says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And in this place, he preaches again. And I actually think at this time, after this run of preaching, some response, a lot of heartache, a lot of abuse, a lot went wrong, I actually think that Paul needed a dose of encouragement. And how do you know, in our journey, in the things we do for Jesus, we need times where we are receiving a dose, a good dose of encouragement, like medicine. And this happened in this way. Verse 9, it says, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, 'Don't be afraid, keep on speaking.'" Remember, Satan's attack is to stop Paul speaking, to stop you speaking. "Don't be afraid, keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack you or harm you, because I have many people in this city." Keep on speaking, don't fear, don't be quiet. No one will hurt you. I've got many people here. Now, I started to think about this. In fact, when I heard this word from God 2 days ago, I literally wanted to run around, scream, shout, jump for joy. Because what hit my spirit, as I trust will hit yours, is that there are many people in this city that don't know Jesus. There are many people in this region who don't know Jesus. And Jesus knows that they're going to respond to him. So don't be quiet. Don't stop telling people about Jesus. Because the Lord says, "I've got many." I'm like, okay, you're not, do you want to receive that with faith now? The Lord says to you, don't be afraid. Don't be silent. Keep on speaking. They won't harm you because I'm with you. For I have many people in this city. Now what we need to do is mix that with faith. Not just think it was for Paul. I believe it's for us, Kingdom Faith Southwest, and all the visitors. Which is why you came today. Don't be afraid. Just keep on telling people the good news. For I have many in this city. I actually think when Paul got to Corinth, he might have said, and please, this is preacher's license, he might have said, "Here we go again." I don't know if you've ever done that. They've organized another evangelistic event this next weekend. Out of darkness, we've had all the blimmit forms. Here we go again. And maybe we, as leaders, went, right, here we go again. Let's go out, launch out into the deep for a catch. A year ago, we heard about this guy who's a preacher who's coming next Saturday night. We prepared. We rang him. We talked to him. We prayed. We got the publications done. We prayed about it. We presented it to you week in, week out. The notices, everything that we're doing is to actually help you to see you could bring someone here to hear the gospel. Is one way that you can say, come with us, because you're going to hear something that is of greater value than you will ever know. And maybe you've gone, here we go again. Pastor says, we've got to invite people. Pastor says, go out and bring people in. Actually, it's not me, is it? It's Jesus says. But we organize events led by the Spirit because we believe it's harvest time. It's time. And on the Saturday night, this guy's giving his testimony and preaching the word. That's all that's going to happen Saturday night. They'll arrive for drinks downstairs. We'll all arrive. Even if you've invited people, they're not coming. Please come. Come and make a buzz next Saturday night. And come and be a part of what God's doing, because somebody will be saved. And we need people to feel like, whoa, there's loads of space here. Fill the chairs. But bring as many as you can here next weekend, next Saturday night. And I think Paul went, here we go again. And I think he thought, I'm pretty confident I'll get beaten up. If I'm not beaten up, I'll get thrown into prison. If I'm not thrown into prison, they're going to laugh at me. Everybody will think I'm stupid. The people around me are going to reject me. And sometimes, you know, what really stops us is that we tried and it didn't work. And sometimes we're like, we tried and they didn't get saved. Has anybody ever thought that? I brought people before to one of these events, Pastor Judith. And I've done what you said where I work. I told them about Jesus. And do you know what? Nobody got saved. Just think about what Jesus talked about when he said the sower sows the seed. Just think. Think. That's the word of God, preaching the word about Jesus. The sower went out to sow. Whatever your name is, you go out to sow the seed of the word of the kingdom, the message about Jesus. The seed is powerful and perfect. The seed is powerful to get people saved. The gospel never loses power. In any generation, doesn't matter what age we're in, it'll always be powerful. It is always, always, always relevant. It's not old news, it's now news. But the conditions of the soil vary. One is hard, and the seed doesn't get anywhere near that person, but they still came and heard it, either through you or through an event. Jesus said, go preach, whether they've got a hard heart or not. Hello? Is anybody out there? The second condition of the soil, what was that? Rocky, not much room. And they receive it with joy. They come to George Osborne and go, yes! Or they come forward on a Sunday and go, I want Jesus! I'm so happy! But because they don't get rooted, and because they don't make room for God to be who he is in their lives, they don't make room. They say, I want God plus everything else that's in there, in my life. Actually, when trouble comes, Jesus said, they don't stay in the kingdom. They fall away. So you can't hear, respond with joy, and fall away. So you might have brought somebody who said yes, got excited, and 3 months later, were nowhere. Jesus said it would happen. Sorry, guys. Just telling you how it is. Then there is the other condition of heart, which is the soil, where the seed comes in, and there's competition with wealth, the troubles and the worries of this life, the desire for riches. They actually are like thorns that choke the seed, and there is absolutely no fruit in that person's life. Now, this word speaks to all of us here as well as unbelievers, doesn't it? But then Jesus talks about the fourth condition of heart, the good soil. Are you good soil? How does God see your heart? Sometimes we see our own hearts and say, it's brilliant. And other times the Lord needs to say, just let me show you what actually you are attached to. Sometimes only the Holy Spirit can reveal our hearts. But it's not to condemn us. It's actually to say, keep your ground cleared. Keep your heart wide open. Because that's the heart that produces 30, 60, 100 fold. And I believe too that next Saturday, and I would include my hairdresser and her mother-in-law who are coming in this message, that I will pray for them and have, and that we in as a church have taken prayer meetings praying for the people we've invited. And I'm sure you have. And they will come. And the gospel is powerful. They will hear. But maybe they won't accept Jesus. But what do I need to do? I need to go away happy that I've done my job. Because it's not down to the results, it's down to us being faithful to not be silent, to not be discouraged by not seeing results, but to go on speaking and allowing the gospel to come into the many who haven't heard it yet. I can put up with, although it saddens me every time it happens, people who don't receive Jesus. It breaks my heart, as I'm sure it breaks yours if you love God and love people. I'm saddened, but I can't live with they didn't hear. And we as a church have been raised for such a time as this to bring the word of God, the message of Jesus, to everyone. And just because your personality is quiet, shy, it doesn't change the call of God on your life. And God wants to help you and encourage you to team up with someone who's a bit bolder than you. Say, come with me, let's go and invite them to George Osborne Weekend. But just do it. Don't be put off by what hasn't happened before or what might not happen at the weekend. But obey the King. Paul saw some results. I wonder if there was a time where he thought, this is so much work, I'm giving my life for this. I'm being beaten up, and we can be beaten up by the devil, by our own self-doubts, by what we should have done. We can live with feeling beaten up. But in the end, I believe God wanted to encourage Paul and say, don't be afraid, I'm with you. I've got many people who will say yes. Not all of them will. Can we be real? It's only by God's grace that you and I are here. Isn't that a miracle? Don't you think it's a miracle you're here? God's grace. But let's not be silent. And let's continue to speak. I absolutely believe that we can pray and ask God to work in people's hearts. But in the end, it's up to them to turn, believe, and give their lives truly to Jesus Christ as Lord. And not just a prayer to get into heaven. And they are the people that God is saying, now go. You're the person that God is saying, go. Tell everyone. He's saying it to me. He's saying it to you. He's saying it to us. It matters. It matters that you're not quiet. It matters you break through the shy. It matters that you, like the early church, pray and say, God, give me a boldness to speak your word so that I can keep proclaiming it, even if I'm being laughed at, thrown out as stupid or rejected. My hairdresser may not want to cut my hair ever again. It's true. I might bundle in the same. Hiya! Frosty, frosty, frosty. But I'd rather risk Frosty than risk her not hearing the message that actually will save her. Let's stand.